CliffCentral.com.
You're the one I'm adoring. After midnight driving, one look at you is inspiring me. After midnight driving, the way you leave me smiling. After midnight driving, I've been thinking about adoring. After midnight driving.
Whoever thought so much could come from a can of Coke? 340 milliliters. Oh man, midnight. I think it's safe to say that this is a classic, right?
It's well done.
Oh, man.
I just caught your wave there at the end.
Oh yeah,
nice. Mm. Ooh, so refreshing.
You're only playing
so
it now.
Eesh.
You know,
he just opened my happiness.
Yeah, man. I
busted
had
me
to.
Open.
I had to.
Ah.
It's what I do.
That's what you're here for.
That's what I'm here for, man. 340 mil coming through with midnight. There's times when I have flashbacks every time I hear the song. Because the first time I heard it, I was with my cousin. And we were hanging out in the yard at my house. And she had space cookies.
Why am I not surprised?
Right. So she didn't tell me there were space cookies. She just said, hey, do you want a cookie? So I had some cookies. It's safe to say we had a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the
what did you
song.
Get up to in that backyard?
Oh, man. So many things. Like, it's weird. Where I grew up, the street. There's a street that looks straight down. Well, that is facing our house. So we could see almost everything, right? And the weirdest thing is, like, all of the weird, crazy things that used to happen in my hood used to happen in that corner, like that corner, man. There was a guy who broke into a house maybe 3 or 4 houses down from my house. They took that guy from that house and beat him up right there by the corner. You know, there was some other woman, I think she had a psychotic break and she was walking, I mean, for a distance. I mean, apparently she's from zone 1. I live in zone 8.
Yeah, but
she decided to have that psychotic break right there at that corner.
That is the Bermuda Triangle.
Yeah,
people right don't disappear, there. They show up there.
Yeah, man. Like, so, I mean, that that's corner a, gave ridiculous. Us years of entertainment. Do you realize there were times where we would actually, like me and my cousins, would not watch TV and just sit outside?
Let's go watch the street.
Yeah.
Ah, you kids used to play different, though.
No, but there's always more drama outside than in the house.
Yeah, for sure.
So why bother yourself and watch
for
TV
sure.
when you can be entertained?
Endlessly.
In the streets.
This is not just any type of TV that you're watching outside.
It's reality.
It's reality TV.
Reality TV. Like
proper
hardcore.
Reality TV. You know what I mean? Like when someone gets slapped there. They really get slapped.
Yeah.
You're going to get slapped so hard you're going to know your mama.
Yeah, man. Mm. Or you might even just call
and
out for her.
That slap does not go on its own. It comes up, there's words.
Yeah.
Like, mjoylaga.
Yeah.
Like, it's accompanied by things.
Yeah, man. In fact, what I learned by growing up in Midlands, you know, we could have an argument, you and I, for like 20 minutes. Hey, get our shopper. Hey, this, that, what. But in my neighborhood, there's one thing you should never say because that's like, you know, when they ring the bell in a boxing match.
Somebody's mother's thing.
Somebody's mother's thing.
I don't think it's only you guys. Even back in KZN, as soon as you go there, it's done.
It's done. You know, like it's a warm up.
You can insult me in any way you want to, just don't bring my mom into it.
Exactly. Exactly. So,
it's fine. We can do that for an hour.
What I got in you?
That's it. Done.
All right.
It's on.
Yeah, he wants to fight now. It's all right. All right, let's do this properly. Welcome to it. It is 20 something. We were just fooling around for a second. My name is Jack, or just another cool kid. I am joined by my love monkeys, Mr. Neil Van Given, as well as Miss Londi Sam. Yeah. So we're gonna be hanging out with you guys. And listen, if you are listening live right now, please send us your comments, your thoughts, your critiques. If you have any, you can do so on, you know, in a number of ways. You could give us a call on 0861-555-189, or you could send us your WhatsApp messages.
0797482090.
Or you could tweet us at
JNG_live, cliffcentral.com, of course.
Yeah, with the hashtag 20-something, and that's how you could be part of the conversation. So, a couple of days ago, in fact, last week, actually, I was speaking to a friend of mine. Her name is Maputi. She actually comes in to do shows from time to time here at Cliff Central. Right. And she put me in contact with a gentleman by the name David. I don't know how to pronounce his surname. It's like, it's Summer with an O. So do I say Summer or Soma?
Sumo.
Sumo? But I mean, we're going to be talking.
Sumowski. Yeah, Sumo.
Sumo.
Sumo, guys. Trust me.
Sumo.
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 Yes.
But it's
like a wrestler.
No, but okay. It ends with an ER. Yeah, a sumo wrestler is. Sumo. Yes. You're right about the sumo, yeah. But I don't think it's. Yeah, but anyway. David Sumo.
That. Yes. David S.
Yeah. So we're going to be talking to him in a little bit. He works he's the director of Epic Games, and Epic Games is an
Come
official.
On, give it more. Epic Games.
There you go. You did it. So I wouldn't have to. Yeah, is the official online distributor of branded games, and at this point in time they are, you know, rolling out the Durban version of Monopoly. Did you guys ever play Monopoly?
Yeah.
I just say how much I hate board games?
Yes,
I know. I have my moments with board games.
Freaking why?
Honestly, like, I have my moments. I want to be the timer all the damn time. Like, I want to sit there and keep scores and keep time. And
why? Why be the ref?
Why not?
Oh. I feel like you know yourself, and there's some spice that you're not giving us.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You cheat. Like, if we were playing Monopoly, you'd be the one who'd let everyone know, hey, man, do you want a loan from the bank? You only start paying interest if you pass gold twice. You know?
Very slick.
Board games have never had a fun conclusion. Like, they're fun, ever. They're great, and, you know, they're a different type of entertainment.
Yeah.
But every time I have played, Jack, I swear to you, brother, every single time.
Yeah.
There's been some drama. Someone has walked away angry.
Yeah.
And it's just not been. It's been a bad mix.
Oh.
That's not true.
Hey.
That's not true.
It is so. It is true.
So
adult
true.
Even. Oh, jeez.
So not true.
One time, someone even left and said they're going to sleep. That's how hurtful the game.
I really don't understand why you guys. Why you'd have such a big problem with board. Like, I feel like a hangout is not finished without a board game. Like 30 seconds? Have you ever played 30 seconds, man?
Yeah.
Like, what I like about 30 seconds is that you look around the room and realize, general knowledge.
General knowledge, hey?
General. And you're trying to explain things to people. You're like, tourist detection in Paris. Come. And they're like, Eiffel Tower, please. You know what I mean? Anyway. We've got Mr. David Summer on the line. How are you doing, David?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thank you so much for joining us. I can imagine that you are a very busy man, but we'll try to keep this as brief as possible. So, to my understanding, you guys are now rolling out the Durban version, the Monopoly Durban version of the game in SA.
That's correct. The weekday. But this year in November, we'll be launching the Durban edition of Monopoly, the board game.
You know what? The line is really bad. I couldn't hear a word of what you were saying. Could you please say that again?
Sorry. Is that better?
That's better. That's much better.
Okay. So what I was saying was that in November this year, we will be launching the Durban edition of Monopoly.
Yeah. And you know, when I think about the game of you know, Monopoly, and it kind of walks you through the tourist attractions of whatever city or place might be on the board game.
That's exactly right. That well, if you remember the old board that you would have played with as a kid.
Yes.
Over here, it had places, you know, in Johannesburg. It had a bit of everything, but Monopoly is all about where you are.
Yeah.
So why not play a game of Monopoly on a board that basically represents the community that you live in?
For sure.
Because at the end of the day, Durban has got its own landmarks, its own, you know, it's its own tapestry that makes Durban what it is.
For sure.
So by giving it its own monopoly, it's just, you know, everyone's going to have fun playing that game on the board that represents everything that they see every day.
That is, that, you know, actually, that that's a cool way of looking at it. I actually wanted to find out what you think of the influence that the internet has had. You know, a lot of people are now looking to play games on their phones or on their tablets. Do you think people still want to play board games?
Well, look, let me bring a little bit of international flavor to this.
Okay.
The French word for board game, when you translate it into English, is games for socializing.
Ah.
And that's what a board game is. The board games bring families together. I know I was listening to a conversation earlier about people getting upset, you know, cheating and all sorts of things. But you know what? That's families anyway.
Yeah.
But board games are a way of saying to everyone, you know what? Let's switch off the tablet. Let's switch off the TV. Let's just have a bit of fun the old-fashioned way and play a board game. Doesn't matter what it is, but what's happening now is more and more people are getting back into board games. I think one of the big problems that South Africa always had was that you didn't really have much of a choice for a long, long time.
Yeah.
And now with the world the way it is, where it's so, you know, the world is a really much smaller place. So many more things have arrived here, and you know, people are suddenly taking to them.
Yeah.
And you know, board games have their place. When computer games came out or when apps came out, everyone thinks, oh no, that's the end of this, that's the end of that. Look in your world. Look at what vinyl is doing.
Yeah.
Vinyl has made a massive resurgence after almost being killed off years ago when the CD came.
Hmm.
So you know, I know that board games are more and more popular, and yes, they're here to stay.
I'd have to agree with that, definitely, because, you know, and board games also haven't missed a trick in terms of going digital and being online and converting into apps. You know, I've seen there are a couple of board games that, you know, you can now download on your phone, obviously play by yourself. But that aspect of being together and playing together is such a rarity, you know, because, you know, you can, like you said, you can put away your device and you can just hang out with your family. I remember my brother, he saved money to buy this, Uno.
Mm.
And I said to him, yo, you can get it online. He's like, no, I want to go out literally and go buy the board game.
Yeah.
And that tradition is just so nice. It's something that we hope to never lose, I suppose.
Well, look, you know, every industry has been affected by technology. You look at the book publishers, you know, when all of these tablets came out, we download books, God, newspapers, the same. But at the end of the day, we're human beings, and we like to hold things. We like things, tactile things. And having an app is it's not the same thing, because it's not something that, you know, that when you touch it, it reminds you of something. You pick a, as soon as you open up an old board game, some memories will come back of one time when, you know, grandma and grandpa, you know, lost the plot and were really angry about it. You won't get that with when you turn an app back on, because it won't remind you in the same way that something that you can touch will.
Very true, very true. David, thank you so much for taking the time to chat for us, with us rather. And, you know, I'm hoping the Monopoly Durban version sells like hotcakes.
Well, I hope so too. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for talking to us.
Have a good weekend.
You too. So.
Still don't like board games.
No, man.
I remember one time I had to download a whole clock because, you know, there's a whole timer. The board game is complete. You know, the designers have made sure that, you know, you're getting the complete product and everything works as it should to specification. Mm-hmm. But no, I had to go get a whole digital timer because people just couldn't watch the timer. And there's arguments now about seconds being lost and people are cheating.
Do you understand why someone like me should be the referee?
Yeah, for some reason, I don't know if I can trust you as a referee, Lord.
Trust me, you would.
But you know what? Honestly speaking, the point David was making is very true. You are bound to come across those type of reactions everywhere else in your life. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's true anger that you are coming across, not just small fry type thing. So I think if I wanted to see any of the people in my life angry or express those frustrations or whatever, let it be over a board game, not over something serious. You get what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That's just me personally. Jay.
If you want to decide who to put into the family business, you definitely play Monopoly.
Yep.
And watch the way they work, the way their mind works. Because people get very deceptive also.
Very true.
You know, trying
very
to con true. You or trying to bankrupt you more especially.
But I think Monopoly reminds me of chess a bit. Mm. I think the difference between chess and Monopoly obviously is the dice. Because now that's, you know, up to chance. But you need to be strategic. Calculated. You can't just...
Yeah.
Buy things everywhere. True. You know what I mean? You need to know where to put your hotels and your, you know. Oh man, that was a nice flashback.
Yeah,
for this Friday.
It's cool to get into board games. I think it's something that as the more and more you hang out, the bigger your circle gets, you realize that you need a different element of entertainment. You know, you can't just hang out, listen to music
and
or
drink.
Watch TV and drink, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's a fun aspect to pursue and to have. So
sure.
Yeah.
Very
gotta
true.
Be done. And the saddest thing is that you could never have imagined yourself on a Friday night at some point.
Yeah.
You know, you're hanging out with your kids or whatever, siblings, whatever, but you could never have seen yourself being still.
Yeah.
Like
and
we're here.
Actually
and,
having a good time.
Yeah, actually having a good time. Like you didn't have to go out. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
Very true.
I like
very
those
true.
Emotions. Mm.
All right. So let's get down to what we are going to be talking about today. You know, we made the decision that... we are going to have these chats once in a while. You know, sometimes we would rather not invite someone and just chill amongst ourselves and just talk for a minute. You know?
I'm really happy there are no guests today.
Yeah.
Because my mouth, I'm pretty sure, and my hand smells like knickknacks.
Well, our hands and mouths, all of us.
And it's got that booty scent to it.
Okay, I don't know about
that.
That
old dirty bastard.
I don't know about the booty part.
Just only my mouth. Washed my hands.
Oh, you washed your hands?
Yeah.
Okay.
I use the hand sanitizer.
Ah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, of course you use a hand sanitizer, man. My goodness. Of all of us, you were the only person who would use a hand sanitizer.
Of
Shep,
course.
You know? So today we're going to be discussing three topics, man. Well, three words, basically. And spreading them open and seeing what ideas we have or thoughts we have on those different topics at hand. And again, I reiterate, please, if you'd like to send us your messages, your thoughts on what it is we're discussing today, please let me know. Please holla at us. We're going to kick it off with one I feel everyone should have an opinion on. Drugs. Let's start with drugs.
Let me firstly disclose that I am not a drug dealer of any sort. I am not a drug pusher of any sort. Because at the end of this conversation, you might think, this guy is getting a cut somewhere. I am not trafficking I'm not trafficking anything.
Yeah.
It's out there now. Cool.
Cool.
Same. Same, yeah.
Yeah, neither am I.
Yeah.
I don't cultivate.
This is just our opinions, like purely opinions. Nothing more, nothing less.
All right, cool. So let's get into it then. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you guys. Let's start with that. What are your thoughts on drugs? Like, okay, let me start actually.
I think you should.
Recreational drugs, of course with certain limitations. Like, I'm all for cannabis, like marijuana, Mary Jane. You know, can they please just let this woman go, like, so we can enjoy. You know what I mean? Like, and
enjoy her to the fullest.
Yeah, because I honestly believe that when it comes to, well, at least my reactions to smoking weed, I've never, you know, felt the need to hit someone or to get aggressive. I've never gotten into a car accident or any of those things. You know what I mean? And I don't consider myself a lazy person. Weed doesn't make me lazy or what was that thing called in the States when they started prohibition? They called it reefer madness. Weed has not made me lose my mind at all, ever. Well, I guess I'd have to find my mind first before I could lose it. But you know what I'm saying? I've never had a problem with marijuana at all. Like, ever since I was introduced to it, I've loved it. And it must be legalized already. So as far as that's concerned, bad. Magic mushrooms under a controlled environment, like where you can't get hurt, like if there's no cliff or anything like that, if... You know, there's no electrical fences or wiring around. Then, you know.
So basically a padded room, you say?
Essentially. Essentially. Like, yeah. And you always need that one person that is not tripping. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
Around you so that that person can call you to order if you decide that the car is a vulture looking to chow you. You know what I'm saying?
But does it really happen?
Does what really happen?
People, do they really hallucinate or it's just all psychological?
That's you know what I mean? It's the power of suggestion, I think. You know what I mean?
I believe so.
Because, you know, when you are intoxicated by these kind of substances, mm-hmm. like when I'm high, for instance, on weed, when you give me an idea, like in my mind, it gets 10 times bigger or... You know what it gets?
Yeah.
It almost as if it's on steroids or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like my mind goes there even further, which is why, like, if I get high and I get a little bit scared, I get 100,000 50 kilogram unbelievable scared. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's also it comes down to perception.
And then you find people who are when they high and intoxicated, they think outside of everything that they see, like from the surface.
Yeah.
They would literally look at this cord and go deep at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or just hear a phrase and they'll be like, but don't you think? And then a whole different discussion comes up of that and you're like, but how did we get here?
Do you know, I there was this clip that I saw. I actually put it up as my status on WhatsApp at some point. These guys are clearly high and they're having a conversation like, hey, bruh, I wanted to find out. So, if they chop off your leg, do you still feel pain? You know? And the dude was like, yeah, you still feel pain. He's like, but how? Because your leg is gone. He's like, yeah, man, I mean, if they chop off my leg, I'm going to feel the pain in my...
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I can't feel the pain in my leg because my leg is gone. You know, that, I think when it comes to weed, that's what makes me a fan of it because it makes laughing so easy.
I think the first time I actually realized that when you're intoxicated, you think things beyond what you would normally think was the day I asked the people that I was with, but do you know that... In as much as you would think, I think you would say it in passing and say, anyone can kill a human being. Like, anyone can kill anyone. But now, do you understand that once you become a parent, everything, you, like, immediately you're told you're going to be a dad, you're going to be a mom. You have the power to kill a human being.
Yeah.
Because imagine what you would do to someone who'd do anything to
your child. Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's so scary. It's such a scary thing to know that I can actually kill someone. At this particular moment, I can kill a human being.
Yeah.
How scary is that?
Without sparing them a thought.
Without sparing them a thought. Without a lot, saying, okay, let me hear you plead your case. No, I am not going to listen to anything. I can literally kill you right now.
Right now.
And the first time I had that thought,
You were high.
You were like, I'm high.
You were high. Yep. You know, okay, well, moving on from the... I was coming up with a list, right? So weed, good. Magic mushrooms, under controlled environment. Cocaine, never.
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 Hey.
I don't understand... I've never tried cocaine. Let me start with that. Like, I've never tried it. I will never try it. I just don't get the process to get it into your body. Like, the sniffing of things, man, I feel so uncomfortable with it. Like, have you ever had a drop of water go into your nose?
Exactly.
Do you know how painful that is? Like, why would I then go find a powder and then just... And I mean, your nose is so close to your brain and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
I think just anything coming in through your nose and coming out, it's just painful. Imagine sneezing.
No.
Sneezing is just a thing. Like, what is going on here?
I wouldn't.
Crazy thing is our grandparents and our great grandparents have been on cocaine. Well, the dumbed down version of cocaine being mutsuvu.
Yeah.
They've been sniffing that black stuff for years. I think my mom does it now still.
Nah, my mom quit actually. My mom quit.
So it comes in this little tub.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's made of. I've never had the sense to inquire.
Do they even know? Like, the people who take that thing, do they even know what it's made of?
I don't know what is in a cigarette, but I smoke it anyway. You know? I know it's tobacco. Like, I've never actually seen tobacco. But they said, hey man, it's tobacco in a cigarette smoke.
It's got no ingredients listed. It's got no direction.
None whatsoever.
It doesn't warn you. It's just like, here, take me. I'm cheap. I'm yours. Let's go.
Could it be just considered
take me
a
through
drug?
Your nose.
Could it actually be considered a drug? Like snuff?
I don't know.
I
don't know.
Because it comes, sometimes some people take it to calm down and to, well, not as, it, I suppose it doesn't get you high.
Yeah.
But there's a sense of calmness that it brings.
Then it would be similar to a cigarette then. You know what I mean? Like, the
smoking a cigarette in your nose.
nasty. Another big no-no is heroin.
Yeah.
And its little cousin, nyaupe. Hell no. That's a big hell. Do you know what's shocking, right? Like, I feel like there isn't a person that doesn't know, at least in this country, there isn't a person that doesn't know what nyaupe does. Like, how you end up looking, what you know, the end result of being a nyaupe addict. And as much as we all know that, there are still new nyaupe smokers. It's like,
it's just so weird.
What have you been looking at this whole time? Like, seriously, I can't fathom the idea of looking at a nyaupe addict and thinking, hey man, that's not a bad way to live.
Give it a try myself.
You know what I mean? I don't think there's anyone on who has a bucket list, and on that bucket list is I want to sleep standing up. No one has that on their bucket list.
Or I want to speak like that, that funny weird way. Who wants to speak like that?
I truly believe they should stop telling the kids to stop taking drugs.
Okay.
That is a message that needs to change.
How should it change?
Because in my thoughts, some of them previously high, others very sober and very clear-minded. In my analysis of the world and people and success, a lot of us have taken recreational drugs or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And it's elevated your mind. Like, you were talking about exploration, where your mind goes. And
yeah.
You're looking deeper into whatever topic
you're discussing.
And it just opens you up to limitless bounds, right?
Mm.
A lot of people have become successful either while on drugs or having previously been on drugs. There are countless sports athletes, current and past, who have been successful for years. I mean, they've lived that life. I think it's better to have lived that life and died than to not have lived that life and died.
Okay.
Bill Gates. Steve Jobs.
Bill Gates used drugs? That's news to me. That is news to me.
He said,
before he turned 25, there's a life that he would rather leave there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it was before.
Yeah. All right. Then, what's his name? Steve Jobs. That one is pretty obvious. I feel like any major musician that changed something somewhere was high on something. Like, the people that really kind of developed the music that we listen to right now, like what Miles Davis did for jazz, he is a notorious drug user.
Of course.
Miles Davis. You know, his album Bitches Brew technically gave birth to fusion jazz, which then evolved into disco, which then evolved into hip hop and all of that stuff. You know what I mean? Case closed. He used drugs. Some of the greatest musicians of all time.
Nina Simone.
There you go. It's another great example. That's a fantastic example. Actually.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? She was
just there.
She was there all the time, man. Who else used knuckles?
I'm gonna bring it back for the kids. The Weekend.
There you go.
He's got a very close relationship, an endless one. with narcotics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I believe Bruno Mars as well.
Yeah.
Has got his own snifferoos.
Look at Bruno Mars. Look at the stories that we know. Look at Eminem.
There you go.
The tales that we know of them having, you know, partook in, you know, recreational use of these drugs.
Yeah.
And in public areas even.
Yeah, yeah,
I mean, there's a story of one of them using in the bathroom.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And he came back.
And Whitney Houston.
Oh, yeah, well.
Yeah.
She can't.
There are endless names.
Yeah, but she was there. She was huge. Yeah. And she used for the longest time.
Yeah, yeah, her and Bobby.
Mm.
You know, I guess if you're in the creative space and you're trying to unlock a different part of your mind, you know, drugs might seem appealing. But I mean, in the case of athletes, for instance, I'll never understand. Look, I understand the need to win and to be the best and whatnot, but performance enhancing drugs, I am so anti that, because there are people that use sheer will and determination. You get what I'm saying? To get what they want. I mean, when you read up on people like Lionel Messi, who moved from Argentina at the age of 14 to pursue his dream, when someone else pitches up and maybe he started playing soccer at 16 or whatever the case is, and realizes that they're missing something.
No, but Messi used, though.
It was growth hormone.
Oh.
Well, it was growth hormone. He was short.
Oh.
He is short.
I guess it that can be debated.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't make him any better at what he was doing?
I think so, yeah.
How?
It gave him an ability somewhere.
An advantage
of some sort. Without them, he would not be the Messi that he is.
He would be right a now. Shorter Messi. And I don't know if he would be as great. I don't know if he'd be as great, but I know he'd be a shorter version of the Messi we have now. I think when you look at the skills that he has, like natural skill and talent, when you watch the footage of him playing as that 14-year-old that flew from Argentina, I think it's clear that with time, that 14-year-old would have been great without the growth hormone.
He wasn't
going to die.
We can have a debate and discussion about this. But now, one would dispute that and say natural, but now growth and natural skill.
That's think about it this way. Messi is short right now, even with taking the growth hormone.
Yeah.
Had he not, how tiny would he have been? You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's the only, in my mind, they didn't make him a better soccer player by injecting him with things. They just made him taller.
Okay.
One of the most powerful movies I've seen is The Program, which looks at Lance Armstrong's career, from beginning to the fall, colossal one. And Lance Armstrong gave himself cancer.
He gave himself cancer.
Yeah, Lance gave himself cancer so he could reshape his body, his shoulders, I think, or something.
Okay.
Because initially he was going to be good. You know, it discusses in the movie. He's going to be a good racer. He's going to be okay. But he didn't have the type of body aesthetic that would have made him 7 times Lance Armstrong.
Okay.
And to a point where, you know, the drug association, they were away. They knew for the longest time that he was taking performance-enhancing drugs and all of that stuff. And I think it's something that still goes on.
Yeah, it does.
It washes away, and they're like, yeah, we're sorting it out, cleaning up the sport, whatever. But then it's something that was happening before Lance. It's just that he took it too far, you see.
So it would have been acceptable if he didn't take it too far. Yeah. Is that what you're saying?
If he had just been
within a certain
not been greedy. I mean, he came back. Had he not come back from retirement, no one would have cared.
Basically.
Okay. There is nothing wrong with taking performance-enhancing drugs, and I suppose other drugs. They talk about, there's this old adage of, this is a gateway drug, that is a gateway drug, all that nonsense. But people are the gateway drugs. We are the gateway drugs. Do we introduce each other to these things?
For sure.
To these things, yeah.
For sure. In fact, I was watching this documentary about Mary Jane, marijuana, and it's always been given that title that weed is a gateway drug.
Mm.
But I think what they said in the documentary, which actually also makes a lot of sense to me, is that where you purchase that illegal marijuana is the reason why it's a gateway drug. Like if I'm a drug dealer and I've got weed, cocaine, heroin, and all of that stuff, I'm going to be the one that's going to be like, hey man, forget this weed stuff. Let me hook you up with an ounce of this.
Yeah.
Let me hook you up with, I don't know how they measure those things. You know what I mean? But like, let me give you a gram or whatever of this extra stuff, which is when it becomes a gateway to something else. I don't think there's any, like for me personally, weed is just fine on its own. Like I don't need anything.
It's a natural herb at the end of the day.
Yeah, it's just a tree.
Yeah. That you can just burn, G.
And have a good time.
Exactly.
I really wish I was the guy that discovered this. Like, can you imagine the guy who was standing next to this seemingly random tree and then it caught fire and he inhaled some of the smoke? Oh, my
what?
God.
And then he started exploring. Like, okay, let me put this thing to dry and see what happens if it's a dry plant.
Oh, man.
And then burns it after.
Ooh,
it must have been one hell of an experience, though.
It must have been.
Can we consider women to be drugs? I think we should.
I don't think so. I don't think
maybe
so.
Maybe not the entire being, but...
The idea?
The vagin.
No. Nah. I don't think
women are drugs, man.
I don't think
they're addictive and we want to consume them over and over.
I don't think we should say women. Let's rather say humans.
No, I don't think we're an addiction either. I don't think, no. Human beings can't be an addiction. No.
So you can't be addicted to another human being, no. Vice versa?
No. Nope.
Okay.
No. I don't even want to give my opinion on it. I'm just going to say no.
Why then is one round never satisfactory? Why can't you just have one round and be like, we're done?
Yeah,
it's
forever.
Fine.
Even if, like you say, I'm going to have sex once, and this is it. I am so done.
No,
what is the, what?
Guys, that's procreation, man.
No.
Hey. Okay,
have
but
you
I mean,
procreated?
No, I haven't.
But you're having sex.
I've been practicing, okay?
Wow.
So... Anyway,
hence human beings are a drug.
No, I don't think so. What? I think we've covered drugs though.
Yeah,
I think we've covered it.
Can I just say, just finally, check out Jean-François Panchoud. He got on psychedelics while working on a kid's TV channel.
Yeah,
and he created late night. He created these sex gifts.
Okay,
they're insane. They're so cool, man. Check them out.
Jean-François
Panchoud.
Okay. We'll tweet that.
Whatever.
Let's tweet that.
Yeah.
Follow at JNG underscore live, and you'll check out the
look
the
at
toys.
That chemistry.
It's crazy. We need to finish the show. Stop it.
All right. Cool. Yeah.
I couldn't explain that picture even if I tried. So, check us out on Twitter, and you'll see what Neil was talking about. It's really cool, actually. Really dope. Let's move on to the next word, man. I'm thinking, eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Let's go with recognition.
Yep.
Let's go with
recognition.
It's
been a big week for recognition.
It has.
Or lack thereof.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually, the past 6 months, actually.
Let's start with
the awards season and everything.
Let's start with what that word means. What is recognition? Like, are we talking about the whole world? If you, whatever it is that you did, like if the subject comes up, should you be the person that we mention all the time? You know, what does recognition mean to you guys? Because I
you have to go out there and find your worth, or not even find, get your worth, you
yeah.
know, especially when you've been at your craft for the longest time, or not even if it is something that people enjoy and it is being consumed in large numbers or whatever the case may be. But if there's an attachment to what you do, and we can all see that, wow man, this is something brilliant.
Yeah.
There is no other person, no other being that could walk that thing in the way that you do, then that is getting your worth. Not knocking on doors and being turned away.
Mm.
I think especially when discussions come up, we're not even talking about a top 5 now of whatever. No, entertainment, acting, doesn't matter.
Mm.
It's about your value as what you've put into whatever it is you're pursuing. You know?
Yeah.
Being recognized for it. Yeah.
It's you know, it comes very close to, well, it cuts close to validation for me sometimes.
Yes.
You know what I mean? There's you know, I've done a lot of things for a lot of people, and what I did was what was important to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not the fact that someone pointed out, like, oh, by the way, did you see what Jack did, or what Jack, you know what I mean? I'm very particular about what I do with my time.
Mm-hmm.
And
as you should.
So for me, it's if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it for no other reason other than I want to, you know? So that's why I'm saying recognition for me is a bit of a, you know, it's like a double-edged sword kind of thing.
Because
on the one hand, yes, you want people to take note of your contributions and, keep in mind the fact that you added value to life. You get what I'm saying? But on the other hand, if that's what you're searching for, if that's what you're reaching for recognition, to be known and whatnot, it's a dangerous thing. Like, we've seen it happen so many times with
musicians. It's the worst thing you could do for yourself as a human being, because in as much as we need and hope to be recognized, it's very important to validate yourself before the next person. Like you're saying, a lot of musicians, they've fallen into that trap of wanting recognition more than validating themselves.
Yeah.
And it's so hard, because a person sits there and like, but I've earned my stripes. And I'm like, what is earning your stripes? When do you say, I've earned my stripes, I deserve this recognition, I deserve this, I need to be there? When do you realize that?
It's a tricky thing. I think what I've learned in my life, at least, with when I would start something and I would get to a point whereby I'm good enough that people around me raise me to another level.
Mm-hmm.
It's always important to notice when there isn't any more growth.
Truth.
Where you are. You know what I mean? I think that's the tipping point for me. If you're waking up going to do something that you've been doing every single day, and you realize, look, man, I think I've done all that I can here.
Mm.
You know, I think that's the recognition you should give to yourself. Be like, I recognize that
I have
this.
Done.
This doesn't work no more.
I have done my part.
I've played my part.
To move on.
It's time to move on. And waiting for people around you to say, you know, Jack, actually, maybe you should leave. It's that means you've left it too late.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've kind of overstayed your welcome in a sense.
And that's why, maybe, would you say then that's why almost everyone is miserable about their lives? Well, let me not say most. Yeah,
find what you're going for. Find what you're aiming to be recognized for. You know, if it's awards, sure. If it's to leave a legacy, sure. But find that aspect that you want to work.
Mm.
Because recognition can... You can get left behind for so long that you start feeling as though you are owed.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes a burden now.
Yeah.
But these people owe me. I've met the criteria.
Yeah.
I've excelled for a number of years or whatever. But it shouldn't feel like a burden. That's why you should find that key thing that you're looking for to get out of what you're pursuing.
Mm-hmm. For sure. For sure. That makes a lot of sense, actually. It makes a lot of sense. Because when... Like, I mean, our contemporaries, the people that we hang around with, you know, like, I've been hearing how people, especially in my age group, they're like, they're giving me more work than I'm supposed to be getting, and yet my salary at the end of the month does not reflect my importance, and I hate my job because
Say it louder.
True. You get what I'm saying? And it's a scary thing. It really is a scary thing when you're trying to balance between recognition being brought to you and you chasing it, recognition and
changing, because I don't think that the recognition also goes hand in hand with changing. Like, change. If this is not working and you're not recognized for this, then change. Shift from the move position
something.
That you're on. Like,
yeah.
Shift.
Move
yeah,
something.
Move something.
Move something. That's for sure.
These adults are messing with the kids, bro. They're messing with us hard.
Hard, man.
They're like, yeah, they've got the energy and the vibrance. They can take it.
Yeah.
They can do it. You know, for the longest time, you're looking at the money aspect of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get that. And eventually when you get the money, you're like, okay, but now I don't have the position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where's my position now?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's crazy, man.
Yo.
It's crazy. It actually moves us on to our third and final word for our little discussion here. Hypocrisy, man. when we were discussing this before we came to do the show, when I read that word, the first thing that popped into my mind was religious people. Oh my God. Oh man, religious people. Like, when it comes to, look, hypocrisy is something that we all share, firstly.
Truth.
It's something that we must first understand, because, well, what we must first understand is the fact that none of us are perfect. No one is completely 100% right or 100%, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, there's going to be times that you're going to reprimand something for something that you do yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might not be to the same degree as the next person, but it will be something that you do yourself, right? And it's difficult to escape the realities,
yeah,
of your hypocrisy,
mm.
You know? But I think institutionalized hypocrisy is my problem. You know what I mean? It's one thing for the government to set up police stations and fire engines and all of this stuff and all of those things and tell those people to police us, like, mm-hmm. the South African Revenue Services and whatnot. Those places are all in place to make sure that everyone does what they're supposed
yep.
to do.
Yep.
And then you turn around at the people that put these things together and you are like, but something smells funny here.
Why?
Something's wrong.
Something's
here.
Not happening.
You know what I mean?
It's supposed to.
I'm talking about the type of hypocrisy that affects people's daily lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's the type of hypocrisy mm-hmm. that really gets on my nerves, man. Like,
give us some truth there.
No, I mean, look, I used to be a Christian. I used to go to church like every Sunday. I was an altar server. You know what I mean? I did the whole thing, man.
Hey.
There was a time where, you know, different parts of my family members were like, hey, man, you might actually be a good
yeah.
preacher one.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You've got the energy. You've yeah. got the, you know, hallelujah.
Get up and dress up and get on your knees, boy.
You know, but I could not shake what I was coming across on a weekly basis. I mean, we go into church and we read these verses and we listen to the sermons, and the ideas that they give you are so fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Love your neighbor as thy brother.
Allah.
I mean, that is something that everyone should do.
Yeah.
Whether it's in the Bible or not. You get what I mean? But the things that these people were doing inside the church, the judgment, the condescension, the levels, like there were some people that were more important than the other. It was
than the others.
Higher
grade. That's one of the things that gets to me about church.
It's like, mm-mm.
You know,
I thought I was supposed to, if there was any place on earth I was supposed to have true freedom, it's where I am praising my God.
And then they're gonna with the levels of people, they should, like, there's this one and that one and that, like, they even tell you, you can't just report this to Mang Mang, there's protocol now.
At church.
You can't just go to the pastor, they must go to your cell leader, then they'll go to the branch leader. Oh. Like, what is this? Like, what is this? And then they turn around and say, but even there's hierarchy in all of this. God, the Son, the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, but guys, God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is it not one person? Is it not one
thing? You know, like
it gets to me. It really gets to me. I was also there, Jake. Like, worship member. Hey. Like, Bona, I was there. Even right now, I find it very, I don't know, because without disrespecting, obviously, everyone.
Yeah.
I find it very hard because the parents are pastors.
Oh,
so
okay.
It just, yeah, it's one of those topics with me. Like, but I sit there and I'm like, but I need to live my truth at the end of the day.
I think, which is why, like,
I'm not saying there is no God. I'm not saying this whole thing that you're doing is wrong. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying some of the things that you're doing, I'm not about that.
That you know, structure, yeah.
The structure is just, not all of it works for me. Like, so can I just live the way I want to and pursue this whole church God thing the way I feel I should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know, I feel like there's a misstep that humans made. Instead of finding confidence in your religion, people found arrogance mm-hmm. in their religion.
Mm-hmm.
It almost felt as if you being a Muslim or a Jewish person or a Christian gave you license to treat people like shit. You get what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. and when you really get down to it, when we get down to the nitty gritty of this whole thing, I think personally that the creator, I don't want to call him God, because once I say God, people immediately see whom I'm talking about, Christianity or whatever. The creator, in my opinion, did not create this place and then send different messages to different people. Sure. I think all of this stuff is regional understandings of how things work in the world. You know what I mean? Wherever the Jewish faith originated from, I'm not going to act like I know, wherever it originated from, wherever the Christian faith originated from, as well as the faith of Islam, wherever those things came from, there were people who saw things mm-hmm. and interpreted things in their own way, and then decided to spread the message as they felt was fit. And that message started gaining momentum, and it moved, and it spread all across the world. Mm. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But for us to now think that there's a specific Jewish God or a specific Islam God or a Christian God or whatever, it that's what ends up putting us in these uncomfortable situations.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? As in, you are a Christian, but I was partying with you the whole time, this whole weekend. Mm. Like, we know
sloshed.
This. You know what I mean?
Like, getting
Friday,
high and sloshed.
Saturday, we high, drunk,
yep.
fornicating, doing all of this nasty shit. And then on Sunday, you were sitting in the very front pew of the church.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that was no way for me to live. I don't want to feel judged and all of that stuff. Like, if I wake up on Sunday morning at 11 with red eyes, like bloodshot eyes, because I was drunk the night before, I don't need someone looking at me like, you're not going to go to heaven.
What is this?
You're like, what? I was at heaven last night. What are you talking about?
And another, like, hypocrisy goes a long way.
It does.
There I am. Saying, let me just bring it back to me. Like, I'm sitting here, I'm like, there is no ugly person. Stop calling people ugly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm all in, and I'm saying all those things. And I turn around and I see someone on TV. I'm like, ah, this one must just come out because clearly they're gay. And that got to me. I was like, but I am sitting here fighting and defending people that they're not ugly. Who am I to say that person is gay and must come out and do that? Like, I saw it with myself. That's why I was like,
The same dudes that will beat on a lesbian, beat on a gay boy, and all these things are the same guys that will then go online and go Google or look for tranny porn and jerk off to that and have a good time, and then turn around and belittle those very same beings that they secretly fantasize about and enjoy. There's no need to talk about who is and who isn't what, man.
Exactly. My isn't
labels.
Do you
labels. Know labels killed everything. I think that's where that might be the root of, well, it might not be the root of hypocrisy, but I think it plays a very large part in it. For the mere fact that there's black people, white people, lesbian people, gay people, tall, short people. You know what I mean? Like,
pretty, ugly.
Ugly. hot, not hot. You know what I'm saying? All of those little different groupings that we've come up with. Borderlines. This is South Africa. That's Zimbabwe. That's Namibia. You know what I mean? All of those things have given us a false sense of entitlement type thing. Even when it comes down to relationships, man.
True.
That is my wife. Like you own a human being. Give me twaga. You get the things that we say. You get what I'm saying?
The like titles.
Once you put a title on something, you are, as I said earlier, it's almost as if we were given license to spew out this nonsense.
And the last one that just kills me more than anything, like it annoys me to the core. A guy meets a girl, they have a child, and then they break up. And then the guy gets married to someone who doesn't have a child. Then tells that child that they shouldn't marry someone who has a kid. What is that?
Yeah, no. It's terrible. But I guess it's the human condition. We are interesting that way.
Yep.
We are very interesting that way.
And then you turn around, who has to ngolisa lumuntu, tell another human being not to.
Oh, man. Anyway, just like that, the hour's gone, man.
Yeah.
The hour is gone. This was a very fun chat. It'll be really interesting to hear what people think.
Yeah.
We'll engage further on Twitter at JNG_live. Thank you so much for listening, man. It's been fun. Sunday. I'm growing up on Sunday. It's my birthday on Sunday. All right. I just needed to say that. That was it. All right. We can vamanos now. We can leave. It's been good, yeah? We'll be back next week with the same. With the same. Or something different. Right?
Let's go get high. CliffCentral.com